A red flag that I think I'm good at noting is if you have a relationship with somebody, whether it's through your kids or through the office, and they continually say your name wrong or spell your name wrong, I'm like, okay, you're really not that invested.
Everybody, they just destroy my name all the time. But people that know me don't destroy my name. It's not that hard. G-E-R-A-R-D. There's no L.
Explain an elevator pitch to somebody who might not know what that
elevator
is.
Elevator pitch is like if you're in an elevator and it's going up the floors, you tell somebody about yourself in under 3 minutes of like what you do, what you're all about, and you know, your pitch and your value proposition and all this kind of stuff, right? So there's your elevator pitch. Welcome to Reading the Room. We're here in this space because we're always approached on how do we do everything we do. How did you know that? How did you need to tell that was going to happen?
So we thought we'd make it a podcast on Reading the Room with our insights and share as we go a little from our past experiences, things we're going through now.
Giving our perspective on certain topics, both professionally and personally, to give you the edge you need to read the room you're in. Hey, everybody.
Hey, how are you?
Gerard and Sarah are back.
We're back.
Yep. And we're just talking about you know, we got four kids, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all in different types of situations all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of it's social, right? So a lot of it is, I mean, a lot of these things in life is like just working with people. It's like the most important thing, mm-hmm. right? And we're just talking about like, you know, just some situations where we're like, you know, the situations weren't great, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just kind of work through it, right? So there's right.
What was that looking glass personality we're talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was talking about her with, and you know what, man? I used to say I didn't learn a lot in school, but actually I think I did. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is like
looking. What class was this?
It was a communication class. Okay, communication 400, I think it was.
Okay.
And we talked about the looking glass self, right?
University of Maryland.
University of Maryland. Go Terps. Go Terps. Fear the turtle. And it was like, you know, we're talking about looking glass self. And looking glass self is pretty much like what you, the perception you have of yourself. Mm-hmm. And how people view you. So you're basically your self-identity or your, what is the word I'm looking for? So your self-identity or your self image mm-hmm. is based on how you feel like other people see you, right?
Okay.
Because like you're yourself. And I was telling, who was I telling the other day? Like no one cares. We're talking about, oh yeah, you know what it is. Nobody, half the time, nobody even cares what you're doing. But then for you, you feel like, oh, I feel like there's something on my shirt or I feel like there's mustard in my hair. Right.
So right. You feel really self-conscious.
Yeah. Like I remember when you were a kid, right? I had a pimple, like you have a pimple right here. Mm-hmm. And then you feel like everybody in the world is staring at this pimple on your head. Right. Mm-hmm. But they weren't really. But that's just one of the things. Right.
Right.
So looking glass self is basically like your self-image or how you think you feel or you're perceived by others. Mm. And there's some things like in social situations where, you know, you get some people sometimes that there's red flags. And I'm mm-hmm. like, yo, man, like, what's wrong with this dude, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things is like, you know, the red flags is what my boss, right? Going back, right? So I'm going to go back to the long time ago. One of my bosses told me, Gerard, if somebody's intimidated by you, whether it be as a manager or another peer in the workplace, because workplace was like corporate survivor, right? Mm-hmm. It was tough. He would say one or two things. They're going to do one or two things to you, man. They're going to immediately try to discredit you or they're going to immediately align with you, right?
Wait, who was this?
Pat White.
Okay.
Pat White told me in 2001.
Pat is smart.
Pat is smart. I don't know where Pat is right now. Well, Pat was from White's Creek, Tennessee. It's crazy. It's like right over the river now. Like this right around the corner.
Find him.
I got to find him. I don't know. Pat was old.
Let's find him.
If we find him, I mean, I hope we're bringing something, not bringing flowers. Mm-hmm. I hope. Pat was old. Mm-hmm. This is 30 years ago, 20 something years ago. But no, he told me that people are either going to align with you or discredit you. So then as soon as you start talking, just like on the internet, just like on the internet. Here we go. You post something, you say something, you're somebody, and then the first person's like, man, that guy ain't saying nothing. He don't know what he's talking about. That dude is threatened by what you're saying. That's what we're going to say.
Yeah.
That's how I take it.
Yeah.
Because when people start doing that, I'm like, oh, we're doing something right. So whether it be the internet or at work, right? So we'd be at the boardroom, right? The big table. Mm-hmm. And it'd be like, you know, I feel like this. Well, no, you don't know what you're talking about. That dude has a problem with you. Mm-hmm. Right? So immediately I'm like, oh, this dude's trying to discredit me.
Right.
There must be a problem here. Right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know if you have that.
No, I don't really have that. But there's definitely been times where I can I can see that the way that I'm able to just kind of feel people out. I don't do it as well as you. I'm getting there. I feel like I have a great mentor. But a lot of times, you know, I'll come home and I'll tell you about a situation and you're like, oh, it's this. And I'm like, no, I think it's this. And then a couple weeks later, I'm like, you know what? Remember that situation I told you about? Yeah, you were right.
Yeah, I told you so. Right. I'm like, oh, I know that person.
You were like, I told you. Yeah.
I mean, in a warehouse of like 5,000 people, mm-hmm. the same, like there's like, same pattern. Not everybody.
Right.
But then there's like certain characteristics that you see.
That you're able to pick out in because of past patterns.
Past patterns mm-hmm. and just knowing it, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I'll give you a situation.
I don't know. I think we can do it and be very general.
Yeah, it would be general.
Because we're just giving examples of this case. Let me give you an example. Obviously, it's not always the situation.
Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. My son had this coach, right?
And we won't say which son.
We won't say what son. Mm-mm. We're going to say he had this coach. And the dude, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, was one of the most ungenuine human beings that I've ever encountered.
I didn't see it right away. I was like, oh, he is so super nice. I like him.
I was like.
And you were like, no.
I was like, this dude's a problem. This dude's a problem right here.
Yeah.
I guess this is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So then, and then the good thing is, man, is like, it's like once you're able to identify mm-hmm. like that, like the, I guess they call it like a BS meter, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, yeah, so
you, that is your superpower.
Oh man, I can call BS in what, if you, I call yeah. BS, I'm like, that's BS, right? I'm like, that's BS.
Yeah. But, except for our kids. I'm the one who has the great BS meter on the kids.
So Gerard, right? So Gerard, Gabby, Gianna, mm-hmm. Gage, you know, all those kids, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So what I did was Gianna, Gabby, Gerard. So look, I said, I'm just mixing all the names. I'm throwing all the names out there, right? Because I'm not going to say who his kid and what his coach was, right? But one of these kids had a coach.
Or what sport it was.
Whatever sport. Actually, I might talk about the sport. And then we'll kind of narrow it down. But whatever. Mm-hmm. But basically, like the BS meter went off, right? And I was like, this dude is full of it.
Right.
And, you know, what happened was immediately when I first met him, like she said, oh man, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, blah, blah, blah.
I'm like,
man,
I was on board. I'm like, oh yeah, we're going to do all those things.
Like, this dude's trying to align with me. I'm like, this is it. Pat White. Here we go. Here we got the Pat White. Mm-hmm. So then it all came down to this, right? So it was all these phrases and these sayings, and we're going to do this, mm-hmm. we're going to do that, we're mm-hmm. going to verb the noun. I say verb the noun,
verb
right?
Verb the noun.
Yeah, verb the noun. Like, we're going to do the this. Right? Yeah. It's like mottos, right? Verb the noun. That's what I call it. Whenever you have these mottos like that. So we're at this cookout, right? And, right? Mm-hmm. We're at a cookout. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there and we're mm-hmm. going through it. Mm-hmm. And what I was going to say, so we're at this cookout, we're hanging out, and the parents are lined up mm-hmm. to talk to the coach. Mm-hmm. And I don't get in line to talk to anybody. Like, I just don't. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're busy, if you're in line, because I know how right. that is.
He knows how it is.
I know how it is. So you're in line. Right.
That happens all the time.
And you're looking at the line and you're trying to go away and you want to talk to the people. Mm-hmm. So, but the thing is like, I know that the person, you know, usually you want to talk to all the people that want to talk to you, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when the line gets really long, it's like, hey, it's time for me to move on. So what I do is I just like, yo man, what's up? And I slap his hand like, hey man, I'll holler at you later. Cause I don't want to get in the way of people who actually have a lot to say to the person.
Right.
But at the same time,
or that might not ever really get to talk to somebody that you see it.
I see him.
Get a chance to talk to
somebody else. I don't want to get in line mm-hmm. if somebody's parent traveled in from wherever mm-hmm. to steal their FaceTime with the guy mm-hmm. when I can just drive up here and see you next week or send you a text or something. Like, right. I'm not going to do that. Right. I just out of courtesy for them, their time mm-hmm. and the person. But what I noticed was when I was off to the side, it kept sliding away. Sliding away. And I looked, so I'd slide closer. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, all right, man, go on. So then
I saw that you were there. There was eye contact.
There is no way. Mm-hmm. This happened again at a track meet.
And I was like, why would he like look at us and then not come over and speak to us?
Because he didn't want to talk to me. He don't want to see me. He don't want to talk to me because he knows that I know.
Have you ever seen the movie? Well, it's not a movie. It was a show. It's. I don't even know if it's on TV anymore. It's called The Grimm. And I used to it was the craziest, most ridiculous show. That's normally not in my wheelhouse to watch things like that. Grimm, right? He was the leader and he would be able to look at people and they would turn into the creatures that they secretly were when they weren't human. And I feel like he has that skill. He is the Grimm.
So what happens is, right? So look, listen. It's not like, and I used to watch. I didn't watch the show.
I
don't watch TV.
Me and the kids would watch it.
I don't watch the show, right? I never watched the show, but the show would be on, and I'd be in the house, right? Mm-hmm. And then the guy would be walking, and then the guy would say, "Do this thing, right?" So I'm like, man, what is going on? So what happened was, whenever the BS guy, I look at the BS guy. The BS guy looks at me, and I'm like. And they like, they do this thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, this guy is full of it, right? And what I do in that situation, and here's another time too. If I'm speaking, or if I'm at an event, and if I'm talking, or if I used to work, be at a table, if I get up and start walking, talking, I can look out into the crowd, or I can look out into whatever, and I can see that person, like... And then I loved Zoom meetings. Here's the thing I loved about Zoom meetings. If I would say something and somebody didn't like it or somebody didn't like what I had to say, they would immediately go.
Because there's like 20 faces looking at you.
On the screen. Oh, man, they just did the thing. I could just see it right there. So going back to like reading the situation, right? So this dude would basically run from me. He wouldn't want to be next to me because he didn't want to talk to me because he knew that I was going to call him out on whatever it was. Same thing happened. I walked in. I was at an event and I started talking. And the second I got down and finished talking, this dude like ran through the crowd to come talk to me. And it was like.
That's a preacher.
But the preacher. I was at a funeral, right? And there's 200 people in this church. 150, 200 people. And I'm in the back and I'm listening to him and I'm like, this guy is lying. Lying.
What was the preacher lying about?
I don't know what he was lying about. I mean, it was something. He was up there talking and I was looking at him. And then my brother was sitting next to me too. And he looked through the whole crowd of people and he was like, he couldn't look at me. Because I was like, man, this is fake. What are you saying? It wasn't talking about anything biblical or anything. But
he was talking about the person that he was there for.
Yeah. Then he came to me and asked me, like, so who are you here to see? It's like he ran through the entire church to come talk to me because he wanted to know what I was doing there. And I was like, this dude's a problem.
Well, maybe he just never seen you in his church before.
That's not what it was. It's not what it was at all.
But no. But
so those are a couple situations. But then one of our kids has this exact same thing.
He has the gift.
He can see it in the problem.
He can see it, and I love that. I'm so glad 1 out of 4 got that.
I love it, but at the same time, it's a problem. Because what happens is, when you get into a situation where you need someone, basically, if there's a superior of yours, if they feel like you are going to take their job or overthrow whatever, something stupid, insecurity is what it is. If they're insecure about their abilities, then he gets cast off to the side. And that's what happened.
Yeah, I think with that coach too, is that he knows that we had a strong family. And a lot of times, Molly, you can come in on another episode, okay?
Be quiet.
You have to deal with that. She's not going to stop.
Oh, let me get this dog. You talk for a minute. I'm going to get this dog.
But yeah, I think a lot of times once they, you know, when they know that you have a very involved family, and I mean, if, you know, by involved, I mean just active adults in your life that have a positive influence on you, and they can't just come in and kind of push their influence on that child. I think that they are able to sense kids that have that strong independence and that have that community with their family. Don't you think so?
We're talking about football. That's what it is. We're just going to say, we're going to talk about football.
But then there is the amazing coaches that totally work with that. We've had more of those than we have.
More than those. More great
coaches. Completely.
But that's what it is, right? So football is a team game. And then what I've learned is he just flat out said one time, like, I remember Gerard, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. He basically said, hey, man, coach asked him to do something. He was like, yeah, man, sure, I'll do that. And it was something it was football related, but it was on a bigger scale. And he's like, yeah, man, let me go home and holler at my dad, man, my top, my family, and I'll get back to you. And he's like, man, what you need to talk to them for? You're a grown man. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We've had four kids, and all of them going through the recruiting process. Three of them have. One hasn't. And what I've learned is top-notch organizations with top-notch people always want the family involved.
Yes.
They always want the family involved, not making decisions for the child, not making, like, you know, us telling them what to do. We're not talking about overbearing helicopter parents, but like, hey, man, we want you on an official visit. Who in your family do we want to put on the list? That's just common courtesy. And top-notch organizations are not insecure, and they want the family to come.
And they want to see the dynamic of the family, and they want to see, like, who they're bringing on, what their family is like as well.
It's
one person or six.
So when you're interviewing it's just like private school, or you're just like going to take a school. When they're interviewing the child, and they're bringing in the family, and they're bringing in the family, too, to see if y'all are crazy. They're doing that. Everybody's being evaluated.
Yep. And it kind of, and like the coach that we just had a visit with recently, he was like, you know, it just kind of helps me know how to handle your child in different situations as well. Just kind of meeting with everybody, which we really appreciated.
Yeah. So we appreciate that. So we appreciate that. And like I said, top-notch organizations are transparent and they want to talk to all the people. Right. And if you're trying to alienate the person away from the family and like, then that's a problem. That's a cult. That's what it is. Think about it. When you go somewhere, remember that one time we went to church? Remember that church we went to?
That one time?
No, not the one time. I'm talking about, remember the one time I didn't finish. The one time we went to this church and the church, we were sitting together and they pulled somebody aside.
Yes, they pulled one of our daughters to the side. And we're like, they wouldn't talk to us, or they had a specific message for her.
Red flag.
From the Lord. But
the Lord had a message for her that they didn't want us to hear.
Yeah. And then they were gone like a ghost.
Red flag.
Yeah.
Never spoke.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, and this is a whole nother conversation. We can go into college recruiting or whatever. But the thing is like how they treat your family is how they're going to treat your child. And you got to have a good feeling about how they're going to treat your child.
Right.
Because, it's not your decision, dad or mom. It's not really your decision. Well, guess what? If I'm buying a eraser to the tip of a pencil, if I'm writing a check, we may not make the decision, but we're involved. Like, we're involved with our family. We're not overbearing. We're not telling them what to do. We're telling them what we think they should do in this situation.
Yeah.
And typically, we have a good relationship enough that they're going to make the decision based off of what they feel like, you know, our input or not our input, right?
Right.
So, you know, so those are a couple of things that we wanted to talk about. But mainly, it was like just knowing the personalities. This dog is out of control. We're going to put her down.
You ready to get down?
What is wrong with her? She don't like us in here.
Here. You can put her down.
Here, you talk to the people. I'm going to put the dog down. Good job, dog. Get out of here.
But no, I think that it's really important to for you to like kind of share some of those red flags that you see, you know, because not everybody has that gift. Like I said, in the beginning of the podcast, I don't have that gift. I just smile at everybody. I think everybody is just the most amazing person.
And they might be.
Yeah, they might be.
And it might be, but I'm just saying, like, it's a red flag to me when you try to alienate one of us away from everybody else. That's a problem. When you try to discredit us or discredit somebody, right? Oh, you're not that. You know what? He ain't that big. He ain't that. So those are discrediting traits, right? And then the other thing is, if like you immediately like, hey, what's up, man? You know, and like, you don't even know me and you want to be my bestest friend.
Your bestest friend.
My bestest friend. That's like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that kind of, you know, make it so I just want to look at it. Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is a lot of times BS. Like I said, this coach, he's going to do well in life. He's going to do fine because he's going to BS his way through everything.
Right, because there's not that many Grimms out there, so not that many people can read the vibes and the red flags.
And that's basically used to be. So think about what you're doing, right? So think about, you know, let's go back to corporate America. I say it all the time. Mm-hmm. The corporate life, and you never experienced that, right? You went through. I'm talking mm-hmm. from you worked in corporate jobs before. Mm-hmm. You have, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about at the table mm-hmm. with whoever, right?
At the
boardroom or the with the VPs and all that. Mm-hmm. There's always someone in there trying to throw dirt mm-hmm. and throw shade, right? So running an organization like that, a lot of times it's like just basically, so like I said, the TV show, you try not to get voted off the island,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. A red flag that I think I'm good at noting is if you have a relationship with somebody, whether it's through your kids or through the office, and they continually say your name wrong or spell your name wrong, I'm like, okay, you're really not that invested. And I really, like, that's a red flag for me. You know what I mean? And you will see that all the time. You could even put, you know, my name is Sarah without an H. And I mean, okay, first two times, but then if I've known you for 5 years and you're still spelling my name with an H, I'm not that invested in this relationship, because if you can't get that right, then that's a red flag for me.
Attention to detail, right?
Attention to detail. Attention exactly. To detail.
So like for me, right? So you guys know I got a Facebook thing. Everybody, they just destroy my name all the time. But yep. People that know me don't destroy my name. It's not that hard. G-E-R-A-R-D. There's no L.
Right. Or if you're trying to do business with somebody, and like we were trying to do business with a family, and they probably won't even know because they didn't even realize they were doing this. But they just kept calling him Gerald. And I'm like, you've known this guy for
7 years.
And you're still calling him Gerald. Not spelling it, not emailing it, like calling him
it.
Gerald. And sometimes, you know, she would get it right. But I'm like, this is just kind of crazy. How do you do this? So yeah, that's a red flag for me.
And the thing is like what she said, salespeople. All right, here's another thing too. I'm gonna give you a little tidbit, right? For salespeople. And I sell real estate. Mm-hmm. So that way, when you do the salesman thing to me, mm-hmm. I get mad because I'm like, yo, man, this, you can't do that to me. Don't do that to me. So like what they do is they go to establish rapport. Right. We're going to say, hey, Sarah, what do you think about that? So they're going to see, hey, Sarah. So Sarah, getting back to where we were. So, Sarah, look at this. Mm-hmm. Right. So they're going to say your name like, oh, I know your name. But then like, hey, Gerald. So this and that and Gerald. And then, you know, Gerard, we're going to do this. And Gerald. So like, you don't even know my name. You're doing mm-hmm. the salesperson thing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get off of my phone. Mm-hmm.
So,
you know what I'm saying? So like, yeah. So yeah. So look. Just know that if you're the BS guy, mm-hmm. somebody's going to smell it.
Yeah.
Genuine. Be authentic.
But if you're not a Grimm like Gerard, if you just can't automatically see those kinds of things like me, what are some red flags that you would say to look out for?
Who, me? Mm-hmm. I would say, like I said,
being overly like nice.
No, not overly nice. Because some people are super overly nice and friendly.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that are really friendly.
You know what it is? I'm trying to, so as you're saying this, I'm thinking about like how it is, right? Mm-hmm. If the conversation is all about what they are and mm-hmm. what they're going to do mm-hmm. and what they're going to do for you, mm-hmm. that's a problem.
Okay.
Right? So active listening,
okay.
Right?
Active
if they
listening.
Don't active listen, if they don't listen to what I'm saying, mm-hmm. they're just saying to say what they have to get through their thing. Mm-hmm. It's scripted. Mm. They got to get through their thing, mm-hmm. right? Elevator pitch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So yeah. They got to get through their whole thing.
Right. Explain an elevator pitch to somebody who might not know what that is.
Elevator pitch is like, basically if you're in an elevator, I've seen it all the time. Elevator pitch is like, if you're in an elevator and it's going up the floors, you tell somebody about yourself in under 3 minutes of like what you do, what you're all about, and you know, your pitch and your value proposition and all this kind of stuff, right? So there's your elevator pitch. And they mm-hmm. tell you to do that like in these meetings. And I do. I love the really, I think I talked about another thing. Mm-hmm. I have some of the best relationships that I have. I met in an elevator. I get an elevator.
An actual elevator.
I'm going to say this right now. I'm going to serve on a board mm-hmm. of an organization for somebody that I met in an elevator.
And I didn't know that.
I met her in an elevator.
That's funny.
On the way to the same place. Mm-hmm. So we're going to the same place. I get in the elevator. Hi, my name's Gerard. Hi. And then we introduce ourselves. We talk. Mm-hmm. Now we know we're going to the same place, but we don't know anything about each other. So then throughout the year of the program, mm-hmm. we began to talk and became friends. And now I'm serving on their board mm-hmm. because of the elevator. And it wasn't a pitch. It was a genuine, I'm Gerard. I'm so-and-so. We got to talking. Mm-hmm. And then what I'm saying is when somebody is doing their elevator pitch, and you can't get words in, that's a problem, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So that's a red flag.
Okay.
And then, like I said, the other red flag is, you know, just avoiding. Because what I do is when I feel like you're avoiding me, mm-hmm. you don't want to talk to me. You know what I go mm-hmm. do? I sit right next to them. I sit right next to them.
Yeah, I mean, I remember you doing that with a family at the track meet.
Oh, I stood right. This dude called my phone. Uh-huh. Was talking all his trash. Uh-huh. And then I saw him.
So never met him before.
Never met him before in my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to stand right next to this dude. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make him so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And he did. He moved. And guess mm-hmm. what I did? I moved. I kept moving.
Wherever he was.
He never said a word to me. Never
he
said
didn't
word.
Speak to you, but he had didn't. A lot to say the first time he spoke to you.
And that's another thing, too. Yeah. When people say, I'm not going to talk about it right now. But when people talk trash mm-hmm. when you're not there, then that's another red flag. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's it. So just know that if you're not genuine, people are going to find out.
Right.
And they're going to find out really quick.
Right.
So be genuine in anybody you meet in relationships, and don't go into relationships looking for something. Right.
Exactly. What would you say is a way to tell if someone is being genuine? Like, you can read those too. Like, you know, you see the foxes. Yeah.
I would say that the
bunnies.
I take it like this though. Most people, I don't see most people are genuine. Mm,
that's true. I would say that 95% of people
95,
are genuine.
It is 95. Actually, really? It's like, no, you know what it is? It's like, yeah, it is 90, mm-hmm. 95%.
Because just think about how many people you know.
Yeah,
you know?
But most people, it's probably 98%. Most mm-hmm. people are genuine. That's mm-hmm. why I can pick out the ingenuineness, because mm-hmm. there's more people that are. They stick out like a sore thumb. It's like, mm-hmm. look at that. And everybody, and then usually what they do is the masses go, oh, look at that guy. He's this and that. He's a great man. You don't even know this dude. You just see him talking on TV or you see him talking mm-hmm. on the freaking Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, people are making judgments about us right now. Oh, man, you know, that guy, blah, blah, blah. You know, that guy's a great guy. You don't know me. Right. You really don't. I'm glad you think I'm a great guy or not. But what I'm saying is, like, we tend to make judgments about people that we don't even know, mm-hmm. right? So, like I said, just be genuine, because people are going to find out you're not.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing about you, is because even your mom said you when you were little, people either loved you or hated you, because you're just so genuine. Like, just who you are that's is funny. Who you are. And that's that. You
well,
know what I mean?
Thank you so much for that. But you're right. It's like, there's all our kids.
Yeah.
You either love them mm-hmm. or you hate them.
Yep. There's no gray
line. There's no like in between. And that's okay. You know what? Mm-hmm. Cause we're not for everybody mm-hmm. and it's all right. Mm-hmm. And you know,
and I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that too. Mm-hmm. I really am. But yeah, I think this was good. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to wait, because what I don't want to do is I don't want to be talking trash and all that, but coach is going to get his one day, mm-hmm. right? It's going to come up.
Yeah.
Like you said,
you don't wish ill will. You don't worry about it. You just know that it's coming, because that's what happens.
It's coming. It all comes down.
Those types of situations.
It all comes crashing mm-hmm. down at some point. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, you know, then it's going to be like, and then they get on there and they start talking about, oh, and that's the main thing, is they start talking about bringing religion into things a lot, then mm-hmm. it's like, you gotta watch out, you know, like, hey man, like mm-hmm. don't put that on me, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah. So those are a couple of things you need to watch out for, and just be genuine in what you do when you meet people, mm-hmm. and get people's names right. Just say their name right and spell their name right. If you know somebody, please just make it a point to spell
make
their
it
name
a conscious right. effort. And I mean, there are going to be harder names to say than others.
Gerard.
It's Gerard.
G-E-R-A-R-D. It ain't that hard. S-A-R-A. No H. Just it's easier.
Yeah. Why would you make things more difficult?
Don't make it there. And then, but you can't call me Gerard and then call me Gerald in the same sentence.
No, in the same conversation.
The same conversation. I had a LinkedIn. I'm going to tell you this last story because we're getting close to time here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good one. It's all right. We can do it sometime. So I'm going to tell you this one more story. And, you know, I was running a large organization at Under Armour for a while. And I'm on LinkedIn. And if you looked at LinkedIn, it has your name. It has your name at the top. You have to click on the profile. It's all this stuff here. And we were hiring for a job. The job paid, I'm going to say, probably $150,000 a year is the job paid. Guy said, hey, Gerald, I went to Harvard. I did this. I went to this and that. I worked at these jobs. I'm so good. Gerald, I'm going to be the perfect fit for this job, all these kind of things. And I said, thank you for your response. Thank you for your message. However, the job that we are hiring for requires an extreme level of attention to detail. As you can see on my profile, it says Gerard. When you click on the message to send me this, it says Gerard. And at the bottom of LinkedIn, there are templates that say, hello, Gerard. You called me Gerald 6 times in your DM to me.
So you hurt his feelings.
So as I see that your qualifications measure up to this job, you should not be a candidate for this job due to the lack of your attention to detail. Good luck mm-hmm. in your travels. And then guess what? I don't know who this dude is. I bet you never did that again.
I bet
mm-hmm. you never did that again.
Yep.
So yeah. So that's it, right? Mm-hmm. Be genuine. Say people's names right.
Yes.
Attention to detail.
Yes.
All right. You got it. We'll talk about this other stuff later on. And coach, we're going to get you. All right. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.